Item number one is an application for...
Item number one is an application for rezoning for 66 Moore Avenue under file DAZ 201 of 2001. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing. The following item will be heard at the same time, namely, item two, which is an application for variance for the same premise affected under file DAV 107732/2011D.
Okay, we have the applicant. Can you just state your names and addresses so we know which forms you are here?
Okay, Diane Law with Sarah Riel at 210 Kenny.
Veronica Hicks, 111-93 Loma.
David Patman, 111-93 Lombard.
Thank you. Then you can proceed with sort of your general overview and presentation. Veronica is certainly familiar with the process, and that you'll get an opportunity to present. You'll be able to listen to those in opposition and those in support and those for information. And then you as the applicant will have the opportunity to come down and rebuttal.
Okay, I'm representing both Sarah Riel Foundation and Sarah Riel, the service section of us. Sarah Riel Foundation is the group that is looking to purchase 66 Moore, and the Sarah Riel service piece is the part that's looking to occupy the administrative space for our offices. Sarah Riel has been around for over 30 years, providing supports to adults who live with mental health diagnoses. We're part of the Catholic Health Corporation, and as such, we're one of the many members that are in the St. Boniface community area providing services. Mostly what we're doing is providing a social work service, doing supports for life skills for people that are living in the community throughout the entire area of Winnipeg. We also provide an employment support program that is on site with us in our administrative offices. And we're proposing this move partly because the current office space that we're in is in a very, very poor repair, and it requires that we need to move somewhere else in order to relocate. Sarah Riel was founded by the Grey Nuns, and as such, moving to this new building that is the Fille de la Croix makes good sense for us in that we are linked and related in background services in the Catholic health business. Our administrative workplace, our staff, we have about 25 staff currently. 10 of them would be office-based staff, and the other 15 are really mobile staff that come back and use the office space almost as a perching space. Most of their work is direct support to people that are currently living in the community. We have infrequent evening activity. Most of that is either a small group that we run on site or for our board meetings, and that would be 10 to 15 folks that attend those type of activities. We plan to occupy about 10,000 of the 30,000 square feet in the building, so about a third of the space. We also plan to be on-site landlords, so as owner and occupier in the building for the greater community, we will also be there on a daily basis. The balance of our space that needs to be rented out would be rented to people that are compatible with our ethics, our philosophy, and our values. And as part of the Catholic Health Corporation, both of our boards are really insisting that we would give it a really good, strong vet, make sure it is compatible. So we're very concerned as well that we make sure that folks coming in, it's a really good mix for us as well as for the community. We hope to occupy in September, if all goes well. Parking in the area, we've taken great care to try to maintain as much green space and as many of the trees that are on site as we possibly can. We could have just moved all the trees, but we also value the park-like setting and want our staff to have a nice area as well as the community to be maintained with as much green space as possible. We have a phase two parking that would only be brought about when we've determined who would be co-locating with us in the administrative space. So we don't need to do that piece right off, and then we'd really evaluate what kind of parking space our tenants require. We would not go any larger, though, than what we've determined in the phase two. All of our parking would be accessed off the lane from Dunkirk. There's a very wide back area for parking, so traffic should be able to be drawn back that way. Also, some of the community members years it came out to the community committee asked about parking in our spots in after hours when our services aren't there. And we certainly would not have issue with that. We also wouldn't have issue with asking other people that lease with us if in the evening and the spots weren't being used that we could open them up for community use. We think that would be a good idea. We're a community-based organization, and as such, we have been in our current location and plan to be a very valuable part of the community that we relocate to. So we've been good neighbors for 30 years in the spot that we have been. We keep our grounds nice. It's park-like. It's the inside of our building that's not doing so well. So we plan to continue and be good neighbors as we move along. We did have an open house to get the community input, and we have tried to address any concerns that were brought to our attention during that open house.
I'll wait till the end.
MMM assisted Sarah Riel with the open house event that was held in March. There were 34 direct invitations that were sent out to neighboring residents. 22 people signed in at the event representing 16 of the adjacent properties. As Diane mentioned, Sarah Riel wanted to host the open house event so that people could learn a little bit more about their organization, get some information on the plans, and receive feedback and adjust the plans where possible. Comment sheets were provided and 14 of them were filled out. My presentation is going to touch on most of the comments and questions that were raised, and you do have a copy of the results in your package. First, I just want to take a moment to walk through the proposed plans for everyone's benefit, just to make sure that we're all on the same page. So in your package, the first large 11 by 17 drawing is a context plan. The site's located at the corner of Moore and Dunkirk, and it's a bit of an anomaly being a large parcel of approximately 2 acres located within an existing neighborhood but adjacent to an arterial street. So a site with those kind of characteristics is typically used for commercial or multifamily, but that's obviously not been the case with this site in the past. So now that the existing owners have left, an appropriate redevelopment needs to be proposed that's going to be a highest and best use for the site, but still fit into the local context of the neighborhood and take advantage of a viable building that can be reused. The proposed office use fits really well into this framework, and it's also compatible with the logistics of retrofitting a building like this, which the architect is going to speak to a little later. So, as mentioned, no changes are proposed to the building itself other than interior renovations at this time. Sarah Riel is going to occupy about a third of the space, with the balance being leased to similar compatible uses. On the site, a first phase of parking is proposed at the rear of the property with access via the lane, which is off the major street, Dunkirk. The parking that's proposed in the first phase is intended to accommodate Sarah Riel staff and also provide some additional parking for potential tenants. There's also an off-street drop-off area at the front of the building. There are some existing parking spaces currently that access directly off the lane. There's a photo in the back of your package that shows this area, and you'll see that there's a good setback between the rear of the parking stalls and the back lane, providing for good visibility. This layout is not going to change with the proposed plans. As Diane mentioned, the second phase of parking isn't confirmed at this time in terms of numbers or timing, but is proposed as an expected maximum based on potential future tenants. During the design and planning stages of the project, a great deal of attention was given to the parking for a number of reasons. They wanted to make sure that they were going to be able to balance the demand for parking, ensure that the proposed use wasn't going to be creating any on-street parking in the neighborhood, and also maximize the protection of the treed area to the west. Photo number 2 at the back of the package is a view from the existing building looking west towards the residential area. It identifies the treed area to be retained, which is the entire front one-third of the lot. The required setback for parking in this particular zoning district is 0, so this plan provides a significant buffer of close to 100 feet. We've met with the adjacent neighbor to the west to discuss landscaping and fencing as well. There's an existing tree on this site that just happens to be adjacent to the house addition there, and the plans identify this tree as one to be maintained at the request of the owner. Additional trees and shrubs are proposed along the property line as well. The neighbors requested that the type of fence be deferred to later discussions. There's currently a chain link running between the two properties, and some landscaping has been done along the driveway. And these kinds of details, including the fencing type and the specific layout of parking, can be addressed in the plan approval process. One of the concerns that was raised at the open house was the evening parking issue along Moore, which Diane mentioned. Although this isn't an issue that's related to the proposed development, Cerro Real is willing to look at opportunities to allow some of their parking spaces to be utilized after hours to alleviate some of that parking pressure. So to wrap up on the site planning and the land use aspects, we feel that the proposed land use, especially within the limits that are proposed in the planner's report, is a compatible low-impact use for a site that's so attractive to development. Cerro Real's worked hard to provide enough parking to keep people off the residential streets, to lessen the impact of the parking through landscaping, and to maintain the area that's come to be perceived and valued as green space. The other main concern that was raised in our discussion with neighbors is, of course, traffic. While this is a low traffic generator compared to many other uses that would be suitable on the site, David's going to provide some facts about traffic in the area, and then we'll all be available for questions.
Okay, thank you, Veronica, and good evening, dear committee. My name is David Patman. I'm a transportation planner and engineer with MMM Group. I've taken a look at this project. I have several comments to make about transportation as it relates to the proposal. The location is adjacent to Dunkirk Drive and is on the edge of the community rather than in the center of Victoria Crescent. This allows for traffic to come in and out of the development without infiltrating the community. It will drive around the community using the major roads, such as Bishop Grandin, Dunkirk, and Pembina and Osborne. Parking, as noted, is provided above the city bylaw rate. Based on the density of employees on the site, the trip generation is anticipated to be low. It has been, we discussed with the client that as part of the start of the site, that all employees will be provided information on transit in the area, carpooling, and cycling options to reduce the amount of auto trip generation that will be required for the site. The site is actually very good from a transit perspective. There are 8 transit routes that run within walking distance of the site, which will further reduce the amount of automobile traffic in and out of the site. So if there's any questions, we're now free to available to answer them.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, are the current residents leaving right away, or I wasn't clear on that part?
If they haven't left already, they should be leaving soon.
Oh, okay. And where are they going?
They have another facility that was built for them to be moving to.
Oh, okay. And on the just the 2 phases of the parking, do I understand you correctly that you see this sort of rolling out in phases, not right away? That's the ideal, or did I misunderstand you?
We currently don't have anybody that's coming in to rent space with us,
right.
So the need to develop it isn't rush urgent.
Okay.
And we'd be doing it probably in 2 phases.
Okay. I think what I'll do is I'll listen to folks, and obviously I'll have a chance to come back at the end to discuss. Okay, so listen closely. Thanks.
Okay, we have a couple of others here in support, I think. There we are. Now, you don't have to come down to speak if you don't want to. You can just be recognized as being in support, but you're certainly more than welcome to come down. I have Barry Ottenbrecht. Okay. Perhaps just correct the pronunciation of your name and give us your address.
Barry Ottenbright, 310-115 Bannatyne Avenue. I just wanted to speak briefly on the process that we went through when we looked at the building on behalf of Sarah Rial and the Boulevard Consultant Group. We were engaged late last year to take a look at the building for potential reuse as an office complex. And I worked for Number 10 Architectural Group, which is the original architects for the building that was developed in the late 60s. And I've been personally involved with several renovations in that facility over the last 10 years. So we are very familiar with the building, and I knew from the outset that this would be a very conducive building for converting it into an office building. What we did do, though, was we were very careful in terms of, as described by Veronica and Diane, the location of the parking. We did look at several options, including locating parking in the east yard between Dunkirk and the building, different configurations on the west side, and the one that is ultimately shown on the drawings that you have in front of you was the one that was the most compatible and left the most green space for the neighborhood in general. One of the interesting byproducts of the research and the study that we did in terms of converting the building was that with the change in ownership, even if the building was to remain a residential building, it would require a fair amount of significant renovation just to bring it up to current code. The existing building, because it's been the same owners over the last 40 years, has been grandfathered in terms of some of the requirements that would now be required if you were building this building as a new structure today. So in some ways, it's actually easier to convert it to an office building at this point in time because the requirements for office buildings are less restrictive than that for a residential building.
Thank you. Any questions, Gordon? Next, I have Guy Savoy. Mr. Savoy.
Good evening, councillors and administrators. Guy Savoy, 178 Kitchen Street. I've lived there for 38 years, so I've seen Sarah Rial from its inception until today, and I'm really sorry to see them leave the area. They're exemplary neighbors. I live just kitty corner across the lane. There's the church and them and the school, Precious Blood School. And I'm right there. In all the years, I think it's 33 years that they've been there, there's never been anything untowards. I've never seen a police car there because they had patients there for a long time that had difficulties, drug difficulties and so on. Never a peep from them or anything. And I understand it's the administrative offices that are moving to Moore Street. But one has to consider the whole history, I would suggest. And they've really been tremendous over the years. So one can readily see that the old building, which used to be a nun's residence, they used to teach at the school. And when the school was sold to the, it was a private Catholic school, and it was sold to the St. Boniface School Division. Hence, Sarah Rial got the property after that. And as I said, they've been exemplary. The property was always very well maintained. The lawns were always well cut. The building was well painted and just tremendous. The other thing that would consider the people in the area would consider certainly the parking aspect and the traffic that it bears. Rest assured, and not only will I speak to you, councillors, but to the people that are here that might be here for information or worried about the traffic. I raised six children in my home, And the school is across the street. They have kindergarten all the way to grade 8. And there's never been a concern, to my knowledge, about the traffic whatsoever. Really, on the days that there are no school, like the summer days, you really don't know that they're there. And that's what I say, they're really exemplary neighbors, because there's very little activity in the evening. They might have their board meetings and so on, but very, very little impact upon the community. I would allay the fears of the neighbors that there's going to be loads of traffic and it's going to interfere and so on and so forth. This is just not the case. It just hasn't happened. If there's anything else, I'm sorry to see them leave the neighborhood. As a matter of fact, I don't know what we're going to get for neighbors, so one will have to consider that. I certainly speak in favor of their project. As administrative buildings and as neighbors, they would be perfect. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
No questions. Just when you started your presentation, Mr. Savoy, you said you lived there for 33 years. For a second, I thought you meant at 66 Moore there, and I knew for a fact they'd never allow you to live in that building.
All right. No, I lived in my home for 38 years, Councillor. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Savoy. Next, I have Maurice Therrien. You're fine in support, Maurice. Thank you. Next, Rachel DeGagne in support. Thank you, Rachel. Raymond Lafont in support. I can't read the last name here, but it's Evelyn.
I'm in support.
In support. Thank you. And I have another Evelyn. Evelyn, it looks like Pierre. Thank you. Sonny Renaud. In support. Thank you, Sonny. Gary Tessier. In support. Thank you, Gary. Christopher Cozier. Thank you, Christopher. Daniel Lussier, in support. Thank you, Daniel. Okay, now we have, is there anybody else here in support whose name I didn't call and wishes to be recognized on this matter? No? Hearing none, we'll move on to those in opposition. I have Steve McCharles. Would you like to come down and speak, Steve?
Stephen McCharles, I live at 66 Moore Avenue.
88 Moore, right? Well, application 66 Moore.
88 Moore Avenue.
Then. You wouldn't get in either.
I would not get in either. I'm opposed to this. A lot to do with the traffic, and there's a lot of kids around, and I don't want a parking lot either. I mean, I know it's only going to be small, but eventually it'll be large. And the zoning, once it's granted commercial zoning, what's going to happen after that? I know they said the interior they're going to work on, but then they left it open to exterior developments after, with kind of wide open. And I don't recognize the people who approve as my neighbors. That's all I have to say.
Okay, yeah, that's
good question.
Those are fair comments. I'll put those questions to the applicant when they come back. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Next, I have Domenico Di Santo.
Good
Good evening, councillors.
Good evening.
My name is Domenico Di Santo, or Dom Di Santo. I live at 86 Moore, so I'm just two houses away from the property that we're discussing tonight. I do have concerns. I am opposed to it. I live in the neighborhood. I'm surprised there's not more people here. The first thing I'd like to say is my main concern is traffic. I don't know who's familiar with, if you're familiar with Moore Avenue. There's a lot of traffic on that street right now. All the cars that cut through from Dunkirk, excuse me here, to River Road. And they do speed, and you know, every, like, all day, you know, especially during the day, earlier on with people going to work, and then the families dropping their kids off at the two schools nearby next door. So that's my main concern. To give you an idea of the kind of traffic that we have there, like I said, I'm not sure if you're aware of that. There's no kids that play street hockey on that street. Okay, you'd be calling car every 30 seconds. Okay, so. Anyways, I'm a bit nervous, so just give me a sec here. So that's my main concern. Now, I can't see a commercial zoning going from residential to commercial not increasing the traffic on that street. You know, just visitors or, you know, just in general people, I guess it's going to be one-third Cerro Real and then two-thirds another commercial venture. We haven't heard what that's going to be. Excuse me here. It seems open-ended to me. You know, maybe once I find out, I might, you know, have more of a positive leaning to it, but obviously I don't. It's the traffic. As a matter of fact, I think steps should be taken to try and decrease the traffic on that street. Like, I don't know what, but, you know, every day there's cars all day, you know, even on the weekends, people cutting through. Okay, that's my first point. Second point is the parking on the front street. All the houses there don't have back lanes, so they all have driveways. So that limits the number of spaces they can park on the front street already. So having commercial zoning and a commercial or a business there, you know, there are spots in the back, obviously. But what about visitors or suppliers, whatever the case? They're going to go on the front street. Here. Then a third point is tonight they've been talking about Cerro Real, which I really don't know about much about, but it sounds like they do good things. They're good neighbors. It's only one third of what's going in that building. You know, what else is going in? There's still two thirds. I hear compatibility. I don't know what that means. Can someone explain it to me? It's going to be low impact. What is low impact once we have specifics? You know, it's open ended. And then I think Vicky was up here said that this site is an anomaly in a residential neighborhood. Exactly. You know, it was in there before because it was low impact. You know, they're very good neighbors. They keep up their property. They're quiet. Very little parking. Very little traffic. You put a commercial commercial zoning, and there's a business. All of a sudden, it's not residential anymore. So it affects, I think, everyone in that neighborhood. And then once, my concern too is with if they're to get commercial zoning, what does that open it up to down the road? Is it a thin edge or a wedge allowing, you know, a high rise or something? I don't know, you know. I don't know what the qualifications for that are. And is it easier to, you know, once they do get that commercial zoning to get, you know, more consideration to put more businesses in that area? It's residential, I think it should stay that way. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you very much. I've made notes of all your comments, but I'll put them to the developer.
Thank you, Dom.
Yep.
Next, I have Janice Mayer. Janice here in opposition. Just want to be recorded. Thank you. Okay, I have a number of people here just for information. Before I call them on, is there anybody else here in opposition whose name I haven't called who wants to be recorded on this matter? No? Hearing none? I've got two on one here for information. Aurel Leclerc and Shirley Denisiuk. Just want to be, your questions have been answered already? Thank you. Joy Gurdy and Mike Ross. Just getting information, okay, thank you. Phil and Marlene Gould. You okay? Thank you. Louise Coderre and Ben Richards. You guys want to say something? Looked like you were in opposition. Crossed that out and came for information, so. Go ahead, Ben.
Good evening. I'm Ben Richards. I reside at 63 Moore, directly across the street from the property that we're discussing today. Originally, we were here for information. We would like to change our stance to be in opposition now. Like my fellow neighbors, our concern is a traffic issue, as well our house looks directly at this building, so any increase in traffic flow in and out, I mean, it's right in our front window. As it is, they're very quiet, they're great neighbors. We would like to see it stay as a residentially zoned property. To me, as brought up by other neighbors of ours, there's just too much that is open-ended at this point for it to sit well with us. Two-thirds of it is unknown. That's too much in our opinion. We just don't have enough information to stand behind this project at this point.
Okay, thank you very much. Next on my list I have Daniela Andrejovic. Daniela?
I live at 84 Moore. I am actually in favor of Sierra Real living in there and doing the work in there, but as was pointed out, we don't know what the rest of the equation is. But what really bothers me is that once it is zoned commercial, there's a paper here that I have, and it says that once it's zoned commercial, these are the uses that could be in the application. That would be neighborhood rehabilitation home, a singles room occupancy, a place of worship, amusement enterprise indoor, an auditorium, a hostel, a hotel, a restaurant, or a landscape or garden supplies, supermarket, or a drive-in or a drive-through. I think we're all feeling that the issue is parking, traffic, and what kind of people flow we will have with some of these that could come in case Sierra Real does not stay. I don't think Sierra Real is going to be an issue or a problem. I don't really think they're going to have that much traffic problem either, personally, but my fear is that if we allow it to be zoned commercial, then we are opening ourselves up for all these other ones, and then it won't be easy to stop it. So I don't know, I'm kind of in favor and not in favor, but some of these, like a hotel or a restaurant, a supermarket, a drive-through, there's no way that that should be in our neighborhood. That's just what I have to say. Any questions?
Yeah, no, I think those are reasonable comments, and I'm pretty sure the area council will take them up with the applicant.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. I have the final one here I have is Debbie White. Debbie, would you like to speak? Yep, she's coming down.
Thank you. I'm Debbie White. I live at 89 Moore Avenue, about halfway down the block. I think we've been blessed to have such wonderful neighbors up until now that have been very quiet and kept very beautiful grounds. And I don't, I'm like the other people that were speaking, I really don't have a problem with Sarah Riel moving into the building. I think they too would be wonderful neighbors. But again, I share the concern that they're occupying only one third of the space. And my concern is also about what the other two thirds of the space would be. I also have the concern about the changing the zoning to commercial as to what it might open up to if Sarah Riel is not able to stay in that space for as long. It's a large building, and I know it would be very expensive to cover the cost of operating such a large building. And so the concern is, if they couldn't afford to stay or tend to have to move on to someplace else, who's going to occupy the space? So that's my concern, is once the zoning has changed, what would follow? So that's where my concerns lie.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, is anybody else here who wishes to speak on this matter who I haven't called down? No? Hearing none, I'll ask the applicant to come down and rebuttal. And I'll remind the applicant that you're here to rebut only matters that were brought forth, and we're not adding new information at this point. And I'm sure there will be some questions from the area councillor.
We also received a communication from Jan Mark Carmichael in opposition to the application. She resides at 170 Moore Avenue.
You obviously took your own notes. Much of the concern centered around traffic, and I guess, although some of the concerns I think stated are prohibited by the report, which I can deal with at the end. I think you've spoken about this already, but there are concerns, it sounds like, about the unknown factor and who might indeed occupy the space. So I'll go down my list to see how we do with the responses. Please go ahead.
Okay, yeah. I was going to start with the notes that I made on the comments as well, and then I have a couple of general comments to add, and then, right. And then we'll go from there. I guess the first comment that I wanted to address is a comment that often comes up in these sorts of situations is about existing traffic problems and cut-through traffic that are already in a neighborhood and people going through a neighborhood. The intent of this use is that it's a destination for people to come to. There are major roads for people to use to get to this destination, and they won't be cutting through. So I don't think that turning down the zoning based on cut-through traffic in the existing neighborhood is a good response in terms of that. The street parking was raised.
Veronica, just on that point, can you just clarify one thing for me?
Yeah.
The access to the parking is only off Dunkirk?
Yes, that's correct. So there's a public lane that connects to Dunkirk at the rear of the property. And that is where the access to all of the parking is. There's a small turnaround at the front of the property that can fit maybe four or five cars that, you know, people might use if they're dropping something off at the building. That's the only traffic or vehicle that would go on more to access the building. They would park in behind. So I think that's a critical point to make. There's not a reason for people to be driving up and down Moore to use this property.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, okay. No, I just wanted to make sure it looked like there might be an opportunity to come through.
Okay. Street parking was raised as an issue as well, and we talked a lot about parking in our original presentation. This is one where it was a difficult balancing act to make sure that there was going to be enough parking on the site to make sure that people weren't going to be parking on the residential street, but also to try and retain enough of that green space to make sure that people didn't have the feeling that they were losing that park-like setting in the area. And there's a substantive amount that is being retained as green space in the front, and wherever possible, mature trees will be incorporated into the layout of the parking lot. Additional landscaping is also being added to the west property line too. So in fact, some of those trees that do need to come down will be replaced with others. The next point that I just wanted to touch on, and I think that you'll touch on it when you speak again later, is about use. I'm sure that there's probably a lot of people who don't have the opportunity to read the planner's report prior to coming to the public hearing. The planner's report has quite a long list in there of uses that are generally permitted in the C2 district that would now be outright prohibited. And there's also a list of C2 uses in the report that would now be listed as conditional rather than permitted. And that means that they would be required to go back for a public hearing in order to be allowed. I think that the planner's been quite generous in the list of conditional uses that have been proposed. And there are certainly some of the uses on that list that I don't think would be of interest to Cerro Real. Something like a drive-through or a supermarket is not where they're going. So I do think that the report's been generous in that way, and don't usually have that comment, but I think there are some things that can come off that list. The other one was about future expansion, and that this might be sort of the thin edge of the wedge, and the parking is here today, and then next it'll be here, and then there might be a building expansion and so on. And the planner's report also addresses that component. There's a pretty significant restriction about adding buildings to the west. So where the existing building is proposed is essentially the limits of development for buildings. And in the parking, the second phase of the parking that we proposed would be the maximum limit of the parking. So through the plan approval process, that will be ensured that doesn't go any further. So I think just to wrap up, I know decisions like this about infill get really complex, but I think that sites like this need to be redeveloped to their fullest. And the alternative to this is continuing to build at the edge of the city, and that's not really something that we want. The traffic for this kind of use is higher in some ways than residential uses, certainly, but in terms of commercial uses or other types of uses that are located on sites like this, an office type use is certainly the least impact. The applicant's gone well over the city requirements for parking to ensure that there's not going to be that impact on the street. And there's been a huge buffer space that's been provided both for the parking and for future buildings, and an effort to retain as many trees as possible on the site. So I think in whole, this is certainly a best case scenario for a property like this that would be quite attractive to some other kinds of uses.
Okay, thank you very much.
Veronica, could I just ask, the list of items that come on the report as conditional, maybe Robert, you can help out here, is it? Are there any of those items that are required to be there as conditional uses for the purpose that you have right now when you consider?
No.
None of them are?
No.
So they can all be prohibited as well? You're comfortable in saying that? I just want to ask the question. I think it's important to get it out there. Like, if that's the holdup here, and that's causing some anxiety with the community.
Yeah, like a lot of them are pretty high impact uses. Things like drive-through or a supermarket, a hotel, and so on. And I think some of them were geared towards the past residential use of the building, but the architect's already spoken to the fact that that doesn't really work. So things like single room occupancy or rehabilitation home, I don't think financially it would be feasible to do that anyway. So, perhaps Diane wants to speak to that to confirm that, since she's speaking for Cerro Real, but the list of uses that are proposed as conditional are not really what Sarah Riel is interested in proposing on this site.
Our ideal tenants would be other nonprofit agencies very similar to us and that would have similar values and be looking sort of a similar use as to what we have. I have two boards that are both very, very cautious about who we would bring in to co-locate with us. So we've got some pretty strong voices there watching what's coming in as well. So, and when we looked through all of the pieces that were possibly conditional, there wasn't things on here that we were intending on bringing in. So, I don't think that if we had to give them all up that that would be a big loss for us. I don't think that's part of what we would see as compatible.
Okay. Thank you. Councillor Steeds, anything else?
No.
No? Okay, thank you. You can stand down.
Okay, I will move.
On number one, right?
Move that the report of Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor? Contrary? Carried.
I move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor? Contrary? Carried.